Scriptures, turning to the Old Testament and the book of 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 5, the fifth chapter of 2 Kings, and we'll commence our reading at the first verse. Perhaps a familiar chapter to some of you. 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honourable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valour, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go to, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. We'll end our reading there at the 14th verse of the chapter, knowing that the Lord will again add his blessing to the reading of his word. Here in this fifth chapter of 2 Kings, we find that Naaman was a man who was captain of the army of Syria. A man who's described in the verse 1 of 2 Kings 5 as a great man, an honourable man. He's spoken of as a mighty man of valour. We could say he was a great man and a good man in that sense. But there was just one thing that marred everything. He was a leper. He had the dreaded disease of leprosy in his body. So despite his prowess and despite his valor, we could say that this man was afflicted with what could only be described as a living death. All of his achievements, and in the military field they were many, all of his acclaim meant nothing to him in the light of this sad reality. And yet, it's true to say that this disease of leprosy that he had, this living death,
would lead him to know life that would never end. Strange, you say? Perhaps to your mind and your thinking it is strange. You might ask the question, and rightly so, well, how could that possibly be? Let me just say this, that it was infinite wisdom. That is the wisdom of God that wove this seeming tragedy into the fabric of this man's life. As we read the story here in 2 Kings chapter 5, we can see that God, in his own sovereign way, was at work. Unknown to Naaman at the time, of course, we're told in verse 1 that this great man with his master, this honorable man, it was by him, we are told, that the Lord, and note the words, by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. In other words, the Lord had given victory to this commander, Naaman, of the Syrian army. This victory was really effected by God. And so God, without being responsible for the sins and the wicked deeds of those soldiers in that army, and they would answer to God for all of those, the scripture tells us that Naaman here was great because by him God had given victory to Syria. And so in his life's vocation as commander of this army, he could say that he had met with success. And yet God, in his own providential way, was also at work, because this Syrian army, of which Naaman was the captain, had made a raid into Israel. And in that raid, they had taken captive a little Hebrew girl. They had taken her captive from a family who obviously was worshipping the true God, Jehovah. That family had honored the Lord, Jehovah. And yet, in no doubt what seemed to them a very strange providence, their little daughter is taken captive by the rough soldiers of the Syrian army. I would suggest to you that for that family was dark and foreboding. God was going to use this little girl to be a witness to him, to be a witness to his delivering power in the life of Naaman, the captain of the Syrian army. Now, we can see this as we read the inspired record, but for those parents in that family, it didn't appear like that. Their daughter taken by these soldiers. And yet, God was working all of this out in his own sovereign way in order that he would show mercy to this man, Naaman, who had this disease of leprosy, this living death. This man, Naaman, who was a pagan worshipper of the god Rimmon. And so his living death, his leprosy, was the very condition that would bring him to seek help beyond what his heathen gods could offer. You see, it was his condition of leprosy, his living death, that would make him listen to what this little Hebrew girl had to say. She got the message across that there was one in Israel, that, oh, if Naaman would but go to him, he would be able to cure him of his leprosy. Naaman does give heed to that message from that little girl, from that family. He does eventually make his way to the prophet's door. That is Elisha, the prophet of God, the man of God. And the message is clear that he should go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and he would be healed of his leprosy, this living death. At first he's very angry, he's very upset, he's very annoyed at the message that he hears, but then eventually he is persuaded to do what the prophet has said. And it's recorded here in 2 Kings 5 that he did wash and he was clean. You see, God is setting before us, in all of the physical activities that I've just described to you in connection with Naaman's healing, an illustration of the way of salvation in Christ for all who will be healed of the leprosy of sin. And so as we come briefly to look at this, I want you to notice first of all Naaman's conviction. We've already said that he had leprosy, this living death. This was a frightening disease at that time. It was that disease that by degrees was just eating away his flesh. And with that realization in mind, we could say that the grave was already present in this man's life. His flesh was decaying. The decay and the putrefaction of the flesh usually awaits the grave, doesn't it? Where our bodies go at death. But this decay and this putrefaction is going on in his very body while he's alive, physically. Here is the man who could lead an army, the man who could defeat armed soldiers, but he's totally unable to rid his body of this disease of leprosy, this living death. And he was in a privileged position, remember. He had access to the king of Syria's physicians, no doubt the best in the land. But they were no good to him. He had all of the wealth of the spoils of war, but all to no avail. We're told there in the verse 1 that he was an honourable man, in that he had honour. The people knew him. They recognised him. No doubt they would call out, "There is our war hero." Small comfort to him in the light of the undeniable evidence that his own body presents to him of this living death that he has. But he's brought to the place where he's convinced. He's convinced that only a divine deliverance will meet his need. And I wonder tonight, you who are here in this meeting unsaved, you have this dread disease of the leprosy of sin in your heart, in your life. I wonder, has it brought you to the place where you're convinced tonight that only the divine deliverance can effect a cure for you, can heal you of this dread disease of sin? You see, that which prepared Naaman to listen to the little Hebrew girl, to travel that distance as he did, and to eventually obey the command of the prophet of God, was really the unshakable conviction that he needed the God of Israel. For he had come to the realization that he couldn't talk away his problem. And neither can you. He had come to the conviction that he couldn't think it away in his own mind, and neither can you. Have you been convinced in your heart that there must be that divine deliverance? Did not the Lord Jesus himself say, "I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance"? The sinners to repentance, the Naamans, who have faced the reality of the living death of their sin. And every one of us is born a Naaman. We may appear outwardly to be clean in that sense, but inwardly in our hearts we are unclean in the sight of God. You see, for Naaman, the word leprosy was more than just a word. It was more than just a word to him. And I must ask you, is your leprosy, is your sin a reality? Is it something more to you than just a word? That you've come to the realization and the conviction in your own heart that you are a sinner before God. In God's sight, you're unclean. This man, Naaman, was absolutely convinced of this. That's his conviction. Is it yours? And I want you to notice in the second place his cleansing. You see, in his condition, with this living death that he had, the Lord brought a message to him. And it was a message with a ray of hope. It was. It was a message with a ray of hope. He'd never heard a message like this before. And this little girl that was taken captive from Israel was the one who would be used of the Lord to bring this message with a ray of hope that there is a cure for the leprosy. There is deliverance from this living death. The Lord had found a way. The Lord had found a way to get this message to the ear of Naaman. And being convinced of his great need, he's prepared to listen. He's prepared to listen. I wonder if you come to that point tonight where you're prepared to listen. You're prepared to listen to the gospel message. You're prepared to listen to the word of God. And maybe tonight is not the first time that you've heard it. Maybe the Lord has had a little messenger in your family who's already saved, who's already in Christ, who has already trusted the Savior. Maybe one of your family, or even more than one, has come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and Redeemer. And the message has already come from the heart of that life that is real, and you know it's real. Because as the message came here from this little Hebrew girl, it was coming from the heart of a life that was real. And as Naaman listens to the message and hears the message, he's going forth. But he still has confidence in man, even in his own king, the king of Syria, who gets a letter and he takes the letter with him to the king of Israel, thinking and believing that the king of Israel will have some influence with the prophet Elisha, the prophet of God. But the Lord must, and the Lord did, shatter all of that confidence in man and confidence in self. And even as Naaman went forth with all of the money that the king of Syria gave to him to take to the king of Israel, the Lord was going to show him that the letter and the money is not going to get the desired blessing that he needs. And Naaman is going to learn that the Lord will not be manipulated, the Lord will not be bribed, the Lord will not be bought. And after that initial reaction whereby he was angry and in a rage when he heard what the message of the prophet Elisha was, that he was to go and wash 7 times in the Jordan, when he does come and do as the prophet of the Lord had said, with no prophet near him and with no money paid, he goes to wash in the Jordan, believing that if he's healed, it will be the God of Israel who has done it freely and who has done it graciously. And if you will be cleansed from your sin tonight, you will need to learn the lesson that Naaman learned. If you will be cleansed from your sin, you must abandon all confidence in self, abandon all confidence in man, and you must look alone to Jesus Christ in simple faith. For there's nothing that you can bring to God. We were singing in that great hymn of Augustus Toplady, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." What is it that keeps you from coming to the fountain that was opened for sin and for uncleanness? What is it that keeps you from coming and obeying the word of the Lord that commands you to turn from sin and trust in Christ and know the cleansing blood applied to your heart by faith? Has it been your own reasoning? Somehow you have stifled the voice of conscience? What is it? Oh, that you would come for cleansing in the blood of the Lamb. Then I want you to notice in the third place his confession. Because when he has obeyed the word that the prophet told him, the word of the Lord, we find that he returns in verse 15 of 2 Kings 5 to the man of God, that is to Elisha, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, "Behold, now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel." What's he doing? He's making a public confession of his newfound faith in the Lord. And that's significant. He's making a declaration that he has repudiated all other gods. And you see, this is the evidence, not only of his physical healing, of the disease of leprosy in his body, but this is the evidence of that spiritual healing in his soul that the Lord was pleased to work. It's an inevitable attendant of spiritual healing in the heart when there's a confession of Christ as the only Lord, as the only Savior, as the only Redeemer. And here is now someone who, having publicly confessed the Lord in the way and in the manner that he did, after knowing the Lord's delivering power, we find that he's determined only to serve the true God. He's determined to serve the Lord Jehovah. Notice in verse 17 of 2 Kings 5, he says this, "And Naaman said, Shall there not then, I pray thee," he's speaking here to Elisha, "shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord." Why was he wanting that? Why was he wanting the earth? These 2 mules burden of earth, as it's stated here in the verse 17. Well, it was relatively safe, confessing the Lord Jehovah in Israel. But it's going to be much more difficult in Syria. And so he wants the earth here to build some altars in the land of Syria, at which he would only worship the true God, Jehovah. And he wants those altars to be different to all of the pagan altars in the land of Syria. And he is wanting to demonstrate that the Lord Jehovah, whom he knows now personally, whom he has trusted, whom he has believed in, will have the supreme allegiance of his heart. And he wants that to be known. He wants that to be seen. He wants that to be demonstrated. So the question comes to your heart tonight. Does the Lord have the supreme allegiance of your heart? Or is it someone else who has that supreme allegiance? Is it some idol? It might be the approval of man. Is that your idol? Is that what gets your supreme allegiance other than the Lord? It might be selfish ambition. Is that what gets your supreme allegiance other than the Lord? Oh, you see, here's a man who's been completely changed, not only physically here, but spiritually. Here is someone who now has got a very, very tender conscience indeed. And he's giving evidence of that, because you'll notice in the verse 18 of 2 Kings 5, after having made that request for those two mules' burdens of earth, verse 18 it says, "In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon," that pagan god, "to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing." He was anticipating that there might be that compromising appearance, and he is so sensitive of that, that he's even speaking about it, and he's mentioning it here to Elisha, the prophet of God. You see, as far as Naaman is concerned, he would hold faith and a good conscience. He would hold faith and a good conscience. And so it is for everyone who will come to trust in the Lord Jesus. By God's grace, they will hold the faith and a good conscience. Let me ask you tonight, are you going to come to Christ? Are you going to come and trust in Him for salvation? There is that dreaded disease in your heart of sin. Are you convinced totally that it's only the Lord that can deal with that? That no one else can, nothing else can? Being convinced of that in your heart, will you come for cleansing in the precious blood? By trusting in Christ, by believing on Him, and then by His grace, you will have a desire in your heart to make it known to others that you now belong to the Savior. Do I speak to some man in the gathering? Your heart is greatly troubled, because you're not saved and you know that sin is the problem. Above all of the other problems in your life that you have, sin is the greatest of them all. Maybe there's a woman here, and you have come to the same realization tonight. Well, being convinced of that, will you come to Christ? I exhort you to flee to Him. Believe on His name. And the Word of God tells us that those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. It's the Lord who does the saving, you know. Salvation is of the Lord. If you will be saved tonight and ready for heaven, it's the Lord who must save you, and it's the Lord who will save you. But you must come to Him. You must come to Him. The Lord will not do the coming for you. I want you to know that. The Lord will not do the coming for you. You must come. You must call. You must seek. You must cry unto Him. And He's telling you in His Word that those who call upon His name will be saved. Oh, that you would come and call and be saved this night. For Christ's sake, let's bow in prayer. That thy blood was shed for me.